Turn your Bible to Judges chapter 20. Good to see evangelist, our church evangelist, Rob Black's here today. And good to have you, Brother Ron. I'm curious, I know there's more out there on the land that would be part of this group, but if you were here when Preacher came the first Sunday, if you were here when they voted me in for pastor, would you stand up? I'm just curious. Man, you got, let's give them a great hand. Amen. God bless you. Boy, we went through a lot of things. When I came here, I was a young, slim, trim, 195-pound guy, dark black hair, dark brown hair, almost black. Now I'm a silver old hair, fuzzy, what's that, Papa No Boy. Then I almost died about 8 months ago and had to learn to walk and everything. Still haven't got my hands back, but it's sure good to be here this day. It'll always be a special day in my life. And you were always, you were a blessing from God. I couldn't have had a better life than in pastoring this church. I mean that. And I'm so blessed by God to have a church like this. A lot of preachers, they go through a lot of battles and they have struggles. And this church has always stood, held my arms up since I've been here. And they've loved me and my wife and my family. And I want to thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for bringing me here. Spend the rest of my life here with you. And watch the hand of God. It's going to happen. And all right, Judges chapter 20. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I remember, I said some of these before, but I see Davey back there, and my son. I remember when we came here, Eddie. We loaded up that big old Hertz Ryder truck, or whatever it was, and I had Davey in the little front seat with me in that truck, and we shot down that highway. And he was just a little guy. And, well, I've been here 23 years. I think Davey's 36. What's that? He's about 13 years old, I think, when we came. And, yeah, I can still remember some of the people here. They had now I really need people to do it, but back then I was a young guy. I could still carry stuff. But all the guys got here and they unloaded the whole truck for me. They said, sit down, preach. They made us a bunch of food. I said, man, I'm going to like this place. I got to get going here. Judges chapter 20. Then all the children of, verse 1, Judges 20, verse 1. Then all the children of Israel went out in the congregation, were gathered together as one man. From Dan unto Beersheba, in the land of Gilead, unto the Lord in Mizpah. And the chief of the people, even all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen. That's a few people, isn't it? That drew the sword, 400,000. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were gone up Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, tell us, how was this wickedness? Well, he's talking about chapter 19, which I'll show you in a little bit. And the Levite, the husband of the woman, was slain, answered, I came unto Gibeah, and belongeth unto Benjamin, and I and my concubine to lodge. And the men of Gibeah rose up against me and beset the house around about me and by night, and thought they have slain me, and my concubine have they forced that she is dead. Verse 6, and I took the concubine, cut her in pieces. Man, he cut her in 12 pieces. I mean, here he's with his own countrymen. He traveled farther just so he could stay and lodge where he called his countrymen. And his own countrymen turned on him. And I took that concubine and cut her in pieces and sent her throughout all the country and the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel. And pick up verse 11. So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man. And the tribes of Israel sent them through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, What wickedness is that is done among you? Now therefore deliver us the men and the children of Bela. That means the children of Satan, the devil, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel. By the way, if you don't put away sin, sin will destroy your people. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel and children of Benjamin. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. The children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities 26,000 men. Hey, by the way, 26,000 men ain't a whole lot compared to 400,000. I mean, you're talking about stupid and dumb. They're taking on 400,000. Duh, like the kids would say. I don't know what the word for stupid is now with the kids, but these people were dumb. Dumber than dumb. I'd call them idiots. Sword beside the hands, which were numbered 700 men. Among verse 16, among all these people were 700 chosen men, left-handed. Can anyone say amen? I'm gonna pray. By the way, I'm not gonna tell you what me and Pastor Dave are, but thank God for those left-handers. I mean, thank God for left-handers. How many are right-handed here today? How many are right? Let's see. And wish you were left-handed. All right. Okay. Thank God for them left-handers. By the way, even though these guys are left-handed, I'm thankful for being left-handed. These were bad guys. I'm going to talk about them today, but they were bad guys. But they had some special characteristics about them that I want to give to you. I brought this message years ago to you, but I'm going to put some more different stuff in it. After watching my grandson play football yesterday, God said, forget what you're going to preach. I want you to preach this. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the 23 years you gave me with the greatest people on earth. Thank you for my wife that stood by me all these years. Thank you for the 44 years of marriage we've had and our children and our grandchildren. And thank you, Father, for all the blessings. Oh, God. You've been so good to us, so good to me. Help me, Father, to do well for you today. Put your hand on me, Lord. Help me to preach the word of God with power. And help me to do well for you that I can be a blessing to the people. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you notice verse 11, so all the men of Israel were gathered against the city. How many see that? Verse 11. So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man. How many see that? They were knit together. If Bethel Baptist Church is going to do great things for God, and we already have, but we're going to do even greater. Look up here, Bethel. We need to keep together our hearts together. If we're going to do something great, we have to be knit together to do a great work of God on an infirmary road. How many want to do a great work on an infirmary road? We'll be out there. I'm serious. God's going to do that. We'll have to be knit together. We're not going to borrow the money. We're going to wait for God, like he told me that when I was ready to sign the bill there, borrow the money years ago. You said, well, preacher, it's been 8 or 9 years. Yeah, it has. And the prices have went up too. But we're out of debt. And everything you walk on is paid for here and out there. Amen? Amen. I'd hate to have any great debt in the day we live today, boy. We need to be debt-free for Christ. We have to be knit together. Folks, we have to have a oneness of heart, and I think we do. We need to be a one spirit and one accord. And I think we have that here at Bethel. Acts 2:40, don't just stay there because I'm preaching out of Judges here. Acts 2:44 says, all that believed were together, had all things common. Acts 2:46, and they continued daily with one accord in the church, in the temple. And they went on in that latter part of that scripture. They did eat. I knew they were Baptists. They did eat. What do Baptists like to do most? Eat. Man, we love to eat. I'm a fundamental independent eating Baptist. Amen. They did eat their meat. They had Whoppers back then too, amen? Big Macs, big boys. They did eat their meat with gladness and what was it? Singleness of heart. That's what we need here always. I think that's why God's blessed Bethel so much. We've been a team for God, singleness of heart. We have a great work to do out in the infirmary road before the Lord comes back. But listen to me, Bethel, we must be knit together. We must have a oneness of heart. We must be one spirit. Because, Jordan, when we get out there, we're going to be pulling our hair out doing things. We're going to say, wow, I didn't know it was going this hard. We're all excited about going out there building, but Brother Marty, once we get out there, oh, we're going to be glad, but we're going to say, man, we had it made back there at 745 North Freedom. Amen? When you live in all kinds of properties on this street, this is 745. 745 North Freedom. It was better there. Easier there. It won't be better. Then God will bless our church in this work. Then we'll be praising God. And the Lord will add to this church. And I said, can anyone say amen? I truly believe we'll be building soon. I really believe we'll be, even this year. I know the summer's going on, but I believe we will be building this year before it ends. I really do. I believe that with all my heart. God's going to give us our miracle. I'm glad we didn't borrow the money. I'm glad I trusted God. You'll see. He'll do what he said. And we'll have no debt. And we'll be. And what a testimony, Lizzie. Can you imagine, sis, when we get out there, Brother Jack, and they see all those buildings, everything, and they say, where'd you get the money? We're going to say, God gave it to us. We just waited on God. He's still in the giving business. Amen? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He's always giving. Now, look at verse 12 there. And the tribes of Israel sent men throughout all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, what wickedness is it that thou hast done among you? Man, they're saying, why'd you do this evil thing? What's wrong with you guys? Look at that. Go back one chapter, 19. Chapter 19. Look at verse 17 through 30. This Levite was taking a journey. He stayed in Gibeon just for that night. And his wife was killed and abused all that night. And they left him, for they thought he was dead. But notice what it says. And when verse 17, and how many have got 19:17? And when he had lifted up his eyes, he saw a wayfaring man in the street of the city. The old man said, whither thou goest thou? And whence comest thou? And he said unto him, we are passing from Bethlehem, Judea, towards the site of Mount Ephraim. And from thence I went to Bethlehem, Judea, but I am now going to the house of the Lord. Man, they had good intentions. He's going to church, going to go to the temple, amen? And there's no man that receives me to house. Yet there's both straw and provident for the asses, and there's bread and wine for me and for thy handmaid. I got plenty of food. I got everything there. I just need a place to lay my head. There's no want for anything. And the old man said, peace be with thee. Whosoever let all thy wants lie upon me, only lodge not in the street. So he brought him into his house and gave him provident. In other words, he gave him food and unto the ashes and washed their feet and did eat and drink. And so now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Beeli, must have been the same kind of people down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, beset the house round about and beat at the door, spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man. Wow. Bring forth the man that came into thine house that we may know him. Wow. That's evil. That's wickedness. Can anyone say, oh me or amen? Amen. Listen, when the wickedness the wickedness is so evil of sodomy, those are sodomites. You guys call them gay and queers and everything else, but they're not gay. They're the most unhappiest bunch in the world. See, when I was a kid, gay meant you were happy. Those people aren't happy. They're dying of AIDS. They're dying of all kinds of diseases. And they're committing some of the most horrible sins that God ever said that was done. God says he judges them. God called, by the way, you think it's not bad? They go over to reprobate minds. Read Romans chapter 1. I won't do it today, but you read Romans chapter 1, I'll give you an in-depth detail about how God's displeased with women with women and men with men. That wicked evil of this God, Holy Word says sodomy is wicked. It was wicked back then, and guess what? On today, on August 25th, 2013, it's still wicked. And God hasn't changed. I'm sad America's changed. The viewpoint of America, now when I was a kid, it was an evil sin, and it was wrong. Nowadays, we got a president that's backing it. And not just the president, all kinds of Republicans and Democrats too. I'll tell you right now, I never thought I'd see a day that I'm living in. But I'm going to tell you, I was talking to Brother Coolidge. If you don't think Jesus is not coming back soon, you're crazy. Amen. Jesus Christ is coming back soon. This country, and don't get mad at me, but this country is going straight to hell. It is. I can't believe he cussed. You do more than that when you watch TV. I'm just telling you the truth. This country is going headlong straight to a burning hell with the officials, top officials on down. You know why? Because they turned their cheek against God. They went against this old King James Bible. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to stay with the old King James Bible. It's the one God made. Listen, it's very important to keep sin out of the camp. Sin will destroy camp. Sin will destroy a church. Sin will destroy a family. Don't take sin lightly. Sin will destroy your family. Sin will destroy your life. And it'll destroy this church. That's why for 23 years we've just been pounding away at it. Because I'm going to tell you, it's deadly. Sin is deadly. Right? Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin's a reproach to any people. And I love America. I'm glad to see them flags on the side. I love the American flag. Don't burn the flag in front of me. I'm an old man, but I'm going to tell you. You know what I learned? I know I can't scuff anymore. Bobby, I can't. But you know what? I'm going to get me a pistol where I can shoot people. Can't fight, but man, you say, man, you're nuts. Well, I might be nuts, but I'm going to tell you. I love America. It's a wonder why you can't even go to. Hey, Chuck, we can't even go to Walmart no more and buy shells. Where are they all going to? Think about that. Righteousness exalts a nation, sins a reproach to any people. And I'll tell you, America has been a reproach to God for a long time with all their adulteries and abortions and the queers. You say, preach, you shouldn't say queers. That's not right. Okay, I won't say it. You won't have to say it, but I'll say it. They're queers. No, they're really not queers. They're sodomites. That's what the Bible calls them. And they're perverse. And boy, this guy don't have any love for them. I love their soul. Jesus died for their soul. But I don't like their sin. And see, trouble with you, you've listened too much to the world. You need old guys like me. You need old guys like that me that ain't afraid to say it anymore and ain't afraid to speak out anymore. Too many liberal preachers, panty waist, they give up preaching the Bible now. And so you go to little sissy-wissy churches, and like the guy on TV, I'm so glad you're here. They'll die, and all them thousands of people go there. They leave happy, but they're going to hell. We think it's a great work there. I think it's an abomination when people don't hear the Word of God. Listen, we have too many liberal preachers today. America needs some porcupine preachers. Preachers, and when they preach, you get the point. That's a porcupine preacher. For 43 years, I've been a porcupine preacher. 23 years, I've been here at Bethel, porcupine. I surrendered when I was 21 years old to preach, right on my birthday. Interesting, later I was ordained on my birthday. It's amazing how God did those things. For as long as God gives me the grace to preach, I'm going to keep preaching. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
By the way, I don't care what I say. I don't care. Listen, it's what God says. God's word's final. The Bible says, let God be true, every man a liar. I'm going to pick this up, not because of me. I don't want it to distract you. That's why you preachers, I'll make sure the doors are closed. Satan uses everything to distract people. And listen, the tribe of Benjamin did a wicked thing that they should have exposed those vile men. They should have exposed them. The deed was evil. Don't protect evildoers. If you do, their judgment will fall on you. Look at Judges 20:13. I'm trying to get going here. 20:13. I'm having a good time on my 23rd anniversary. I couldn't even stand up hardly last week. I'm glad God let me get better. By the way, how many went to the fair this week? I didn't go. That's one of the first times I didn't go, Billy. Just didn't feel. And I missed those smash cars. What do they call that? Demolition. Yeah, I love that. It's in my blood just to destroy. Smash, smash. You know, I didn't even go to that. How many went to demolition? Boy, just a couple. You guys are walking close to God, man. Rest of you guys. I mean, I've got an excuse. I'm sick. But what was wrong with you? You missed demolition? Oh, my lands. I hope I... There you go. I missed that too. Oh, I got to get going here. Rich, I'm full of myself today. Listen, the tribe of Benjamin did a wicked thing, and we should not back and support wicked things. Our country supports a lot of wicked things. But look at Judges 20, verse 13. I got to get this done with. Now, therefore, deliver us to men, the children of Belial, the devil, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death. And by the way, they should have been put to death. By the way, America should, we got all these people in jail on death, life sentences. No, they killed people. If they really killed people, then they should be killed. I could eliminate almost half the people in the jails if you just kill the people who killed. Boy, you say, boy, preacher, what are you doing? I'm telling you how it used to be. See you that are mad at me? That's how far away America's went from God. Because murderers used to be murdered. If you kill, the Bible teaches over in Genesis, and all through, you kill someone purposely. Now, if you did an accident, that's different. But purposely, if you kill someone, your life should be taken too. Boy, I tell you, we could eliminate a lot of those jailhouses if we could just eliminate the killers. You know, see what happens, folks, when you don't obey the word of God? We got our country's going, being torn every way. And it's all because we won't obey God's word. He set it up for us. He showed us how to have a local government underneath his word. Yet we just say no, 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 no to God. And God says, okay, keep saying no. I'll show you what happens when you say no to me. Judges 20:13, they said, deliver us those men that did that wickedness. You know, Christians need to start stand for righteousness. We need to stand for righteousness. I'm telling you right now, Christians need to stand for righteousness. Don't be ashamed of calling sin, sin. Well, preacher, that's their lifestyle. No, that's their sin style. Because the tribe of Benjamin would not do right, they went to war with their own brethren. Do you see how sin, and when it gets in the camp of God's people, they're going to war with the brethren. Israel's going against Israel because of sin. You say, nothing can break us up. Oh yeah, sin can break us up. Sin that's not taken away will destroy and defeat your life and those around you. We need churches all over America today, God's people, to rise up and speak out for the things of God. We've been silent too long. I'm glad there's other fundamental churches that are standing for the stuff. That tribe of Benjamin, verse 14, and look at verse 14 says about them. children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the city of on the Gibeah to go out and battle against the children of Israel. They're going against, can you imagine? Let's go fight our own brethren. That's sad. There should never be no warring among the people of God. I'll say that again. There should never be warring among the people of God. It's a very sad day when the brethren have to battle against the other brethren. Look at verse 15 and 15. And the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities. 26,000 men drew the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. Among all those people were 700 chosen men, left-handed. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for those left-handers. Amen. But I've told these men, as much as I got, when I first read this, I got excited. Man, I knew we were, I said, Pastor Dave, I knew we were special. Look at left-handers, right in the Bible, left-handers. Then my bubble, I remember I chewed some bubble gum, it had a, you know, it had a big bubble, then somebody goes, boop, and over your face. How many have ever done that or seen it done? I had my bubble popped years ago as a young preacher. I was told that these left-handers were really right-handers. That these men were professional soldiers. And these 700 men of Gibeah, they were an elite group. But they lost their fingers or their hands or arm or something. And so they lost their use of the right side. But they wanted to continue to be a professional soldier because that was all they wanted to do. So they learned to be left-handed. They learned to be left-handed. They finally got on the right side. And they practiced and worked, so they became left-handers. These men were not good men, but there's three qualities, three characteristics. And I'm going to real quickly give you, you've heard me preach this before, but there's three that every one of you, and myself included, we need this. We need these three qualities, and I'll get you out before 12. Number one, they would not quit. These 700 men of Gibeah would not quit. Even though they lost their right hand or finger or arm, they would not quit. No matter what they had to, no matter how hard it got, no matter what they had to do, no matter what they had to face, they would not quit. Boy, I wish we had Christians like that today that would not quit. Too many quitters today. Now, they were determined that they would not quit. They were determined that they would be a soldier. Listen, tomorrow's our opening day for school. I wrote this down for fun. The BBCA teachers, tomorrow's your first day, and you need to determine right now, you teachers, I will not quit. I don't care how hard those kids go at me. I will not quit. Oh, God bless those that do this, the little ones and stuff. We don't pay our teachers hardly anything, but there I'm going to tell you right now, there ain't enough money in the world, sis. Let me do a teacher. Woo! We need to pray for our teachers. By the way, we have, and I mean this, and there's some here, but we have one of the greatest Christian schools in all America. We have a phenomenal school. We really do. Our teachers are excellent. We have a great curriculum. We have a great principal, Pastor Dave. And I'm going to tell you right now, this school is a great school. It stands for righteousness. It teaches, it preaches the old Bible, and it teaches these kids character. We got a lot of characters coming, and we are teaching them character. Amen? Their pastor's a character. Now notice, they were determined that they would not quit. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. From a young kid, I had a desire never to lose. I couldn't stand losing. I know that some of you get mad when I preach on this, but I never could. If I lost a ball game, we won almost everything in my life. I was blessed by being a good athlete, and I was good. But I hardly ever lost a game. I lost a couple, but if I lost a game, I'm not lying to you. When I was a kid, young kid in school, I couldn't sleep at night. I'd actually go through my mind, how could we have lost? What could I have done more to win? I'm going to tell you right now, winners never quit. Quitters never win. I remember Lighthouse Baptist, we were playing Lewis Avenue in softball, and we were down, they had 11, I think we had three, was in bottom of the seventh or bottom of the ninth, whatever the bottom of the last inning was, and we had last ups. And I remember getting all the guys at my church, and that time I could still play ball and stuff. And I said, "Boy, we got them right where we want them." He said, "Preacher, it's 11-3. "Yeah, but we get last ups, and now they can't bat." By the way, we beat them 13-11. That was a church about five times the size of mine. I'm going to tell you, you win a lot of times just the desire to win. It bothers me when kids play and don't have a desire to win. I'm not saying you got to win, but you should have a desire to win. And I'm going to tell you, quitters never win, winners never quit. You need to say in your heart, "I'll not quit. I'll not quit. I'll not quit. I'll not give up on my family. I'll not give up on my marriage. I'll not give up on my goals in life. I'll not give up. I'll not give up. I'll not give up. I'll not give up. I'll not give up." You college kids, I'll not give up. I wrote this down. No matter what you do in life, you need to have an attitude, "I will not quit. I don't care what it takes, what you have to face, I will not quit." I've had that all my life, and that's been my mindset. You young people, the college kids are out there in the land today, but you go talk to the college kids that just graduated. I'm going to tell you, there was a lot of days that those college kids probably felt like quitting. You can feel like it, but don't do it. And they'll tell you they're glad they didn't quit. I've told this story lots of times down through the years, but it's the greatest story I've got on not quitting. And I like telling it. When I lived in Toledo years ago, Davy Skyver was about, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old. I can't remember how old he was. Just a real little guy, Tammy. And they were playing hide and seek. And Tammy went and hit on David. And boy, she hid good because he couldn't find her. He looked everywhere. He said, "Dad, I can't find her." I said, "Keep looking. I can't find her, Dad. Keep looking." Finally he said, "Tammy! Come out! I quit!" I jumped out of my chair. "No! Don't come out wherever you are! He's not quitting!" He said, "Dad, I can't find her." I said, "I don't care. You're not quitting." He was just a little kid. I said, "You're not quitting. If you quit, I'm spanking you with my belt as hard as I can. You're not quitting. I can't find her." I didn't know Tammy went to the store with her mom. I couldn't. No, just that was just kid. I just kidding you about that. She was there. He said, "Dad, I can't find her." I said, "Tammy, wherever you are, don't move. We're not quitting." He said, "Dad." I said, "Go out. Look behind, go upstairs and look everywhere." He went upstairs, looked all through again. Then he came down. I'm in the dining room. And then when you first walked in the house, we had a piano. Rosie always had a piano. And he said, "I can't find her. I want to go." "No, you're not. Keep looking." I didn't know where she was. I really didn't. And finally, David, and I'll make this end the story. It went on and on, but I kept saying, "You're not quitting, you're not quitting, David." Finally, he went and looked behind the piano, and he found Tammy. "And I remember your voice, and I saw it. Remember your face, Davey. You were just a little guy." But he found his sister behind the piano. And he said, "Dad! Dad! I found her! I found her!" My son that day learned how to be a winner by not quitting. I guarantee he's never forgot that. How he found his sister behind, and he didn't quit. He did not quit, and he became a winner because he did not quit. How many want to say amen to that?
Amen.
Yesterday, I watched my grandson play football. He plays for one of the little Ravenna teams here. And the 9 and 10-year-olds, I think it's 9 and 10 or 10 and 11, I think it's 9 and 10, 10 and 11, somewhere in there. It's real little kids. When I was a kid, we didn't play till we got in grade 7 and 8th grade, high school. They got on for peewees, man. And Lukey's real good. And they played this team from Firestone. And boy, they got benches there too. I got all the way to the top of the stadium stands because I had a better look. Then I realized, how am I going to get down? Those little stinking. So one by one, I'm holding on like, and the guys look. I said, "Hey, this is what happens when you get old, buddy." So I watched from the Lord the first one, so I had to climb. But Lukey was playing. The team came out, Chuck. They were number one last year. I don't know how many. And they came out. And Rich, the kids were huge. They were huge. I said, now I'm not making this up. I'm not preaching right now. You'll get that in a minute. I'm not making some of them. You can ask Freddie Belcher over there. Lukey was playing guard. And the guy, Marty, he was facing a kid that's supposed to be 10 years old, as big as you or bigger than you, Brother Martin. This kid, well, he's bigger than his own, he was bigger than Lukey's dad. I said, 10 years old? Boy, they're growing them big over there in Akron. And boy, then I'm thinking, My grandson, he's strong and he's tough. I'm going to tell you right now, Lukey's a bulldog. But I mean, come on, let's make it fair. I mean, don't put him against high school kids. He's only in fifth grade? I think he's fifth grade, somewhere in there. And I thought, oh man, I'm going to be running on that field and grabbing my kid. They ain't going to hurt my kid. I'm going to kill him. I love my family. You can beat on me all day long, but don't touch my family. The old man, I'll find some way to come at you. I won't run as I can't even run. I can barely walk, but I'll come at you in slow motion. And he had a faith. Chuck, this kid, I'm telling you, this kid was probably more than a foot taller, and he was a huge boy. How do you get that big at 10 years old? I think we need to check that Firestone's birth certificate, buddy. And Lukey took the first snap. Lukey blocked him and shoved him out. I said, yeah, look! The whole game, Lukey outplayed that kid. The kid only got in on I can remember is one. By the way, Lukey played both ways, too. Offense and defense. That kid only slipped through one time. 98% of the time, Lukey blocked him. Lukey pushed him out. And the one man told David, even the coaches from the other side, they said, how is that little guy destroying this big kid of ours? Man, you know why? Lukey don't want to lose. Lukey don't want to quit. Lukey will not quit. I'm going to tell you, his daddy and his grandpa put that in his heart from a tiny little boy. But you know, I'll tell you, didn't have all my kids on both sides of my kids. They all don't want to lose. I'm afraid for Ray Ray. She don't like to lose. And trouble is, when she drives cars, if you mess with her, she's going to run you over. I got to put cattle bumpers on her or something, so train bumpers, something so don't kill people. But man, I'm going to tell you, Lukey played that whole game against that big kid. I was so proud of my grandson. And by the way, he outplayed him. This is a number one team from Firestone. First place team. Now the team didn't win. They scored more. They had, I think Lukey's team had 3 touchdowns. I think the other team had 6 or 7. They got beat. But I'm going to tell you, those kids on Lukey's team and Lukey, they did not quit till the game was over. Well, we need to have that kind of attitude in our Christian life. I don't care what the odds are. I don't care what I got to face. I'm not going to quit. Too many quitters in life. I'm not going to quit! Boy, I grabbed my son, my grandson. I hugged him. I said, I love you, Lukey. I'm so proud of you. I said, as soon as you can, let's go home. I'm going to go out and buy you something, Luke. He got a new football, and they busted up his arms. That kid, he had his arms all bruised up from the game. He didn't go out. He kept playing. I went out and I said, they're not going to break your arms up no more, Luke. I bought him these pads. It only cost me $55 to have a happy day with him. Rosie said, what can I do to make you happy? I said, hey, it's Lukey's day. Got him pads to put on there downtown at the sports center. Put those pads on his arms. Next time they won't get him. If you see Lukey, he's got bruises on his arms today because he was a man playing football yesterday. Hello? I didn't want my grandson to get hurt. By the way, I was ready to take him out. But he wouldn't. He said, no, I'm not quitting. He actually beat the team. His team lost, but he beat the kid that was against him. 98% of the time, he beat that kid. That kid was over a foot taller and bigger. He was like a little bit bigger than Brother Marty. That's just, how they make him that big at 10 years old. I don't know how they do that. Hello? I think sometimes people lie. Anyways, Lukey learned, I will not quit, no matter what the odds. Can anyone say amen? And number one, I will not quit. Number two, those 700 men of Gibeah, they did not quit. And number two, those 700 men of Gibeah did not make excuses. They did not make excuses. They could have said, I don't have a right hand or right fingers, but they didn't. They just worked harder to be left-handed. You know, we make up too many excuses why we can't do things. Amen? Stop making excuses for your failures. Stop making excuses for your failures. And get with the program. Quiet in here today. May the Lord help us from making excuses why we don't do things for God. Oh, I don't witness, preacher, because I can't do it. Yeah, you can. You just need to get your can changed. Go from can't to can. Hello. Amen? Preacher, I can't tithe. I can't pay my bills if I tithe. Well, maybe if you tithe, your bills will be being paid. By the way, the Bible says in Leviticus 27:30 and also 32 that the tithe is the Lord's, and it goes on, and the tithe is holy. Well, you don't put your tithe in. You got a Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says you got a curse on you. Look up here. Some of you are God robbers. By the way, this church gives. I think. By the way, I don't know who gives either because I won't look at it. I never look at it. But I know about 90% of the church here are tithers. But the rest of you 10%, you're God robbers. And you're going to face God. You know what's sad? God is so good to us. He is so good to us, and we still don't honor God with our money. You say, I'm going to do all this for God. Listen, if you won't tithe on $100, you ain't going to tithe on $1 million. We hit that denier. Everybody that's in this church is going to tithe because I'm going to get in your face. Because I'm not letting you put a curse on God's church. Because we're going to be building. We're going to be building. And that's the money we're going to use if the Lord gives it to us. That's the money we're going to use to build, pay cash free. And I don't want no curse on my church. Do what you want the rest, but you're not going to forget God. You say, wow, how dare you? How dare me? You're right. Da, 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 da. Preacher, I would, but I can't. No, you're just making excuses. Don't make excuses. They didn't quit. They didn't make excuses. Those 7 men, they just didn't make excuses. Listen, quit making excuses why you can't do things. Don't make excuses. You know what's in my heart, Bobby? I talked to God yesterday. I've got to get well enough to walk better. Because I want to lead this church in September, maybe later on, second or third week, before it gets. I want to lead us on. I know some of you are still going, but I haven't been able to go with you. I'm just starting to be able to walk again. But I want to go door to door. Pastor Dave, I want to have, before the winter comes, I want us to put up like 10,000 flyers and go to 10,000 homes door to door. And I want us, you preachers, Pastor Richard, I want us all the preachers, Bobby, I want us all to lead the people. We need to put a push before this winter comes in, and it's coming. I hate to say it. I know we're still in August, but I'm going to tell you, this has been the coldest August I can remember. I said, God, let me walk enough that I can see. Not only can I walk, but I get tired. But I'd be all right to get tired for Jesus. Amen. Listen, lastly, the 700 men of Gibeah, they simply used what they had. They only had one arm, but they used what they had for God. They did the best with what they had. Get this. Don't worry about what you don't have. Don't worry about what you don't have. Simply use what you do have. I'm a kid that didn't have no formal education. I went to Bible college, but I was a truant kid in school. I was what they call a hood or hoodlum. I don't know what you call it. I was a bad kid. My senior year, I missed 56 days in high school. It's a miracle I graduated. When God called me to preach, I said, holy mackerel. God, I don't know what, I know you don't make no mistakes, but you better check the book again. This is Rich Skiver, the kid that don't know nothing. He said, yeah, I'll take what you don't have and make something with it. See, I didn't have anything to offer God, but God had so much to offer me. And so I was just like that little boy in John chapter 6, around verse 19, somewhere in there, 9, somewhere in there. Remember, they were wanting to feed the 5,000, and we don't have no food. And he said, I've got 5 loaves of bread. And 2 small fishes. See, he simply used what he had. In all my life, since I've been saved, I've just been simply using what I have for God. By the way, if he can use a guy like me, he sure can use someone like you. All you got to do is say, God, here's what I got. It isn't much. But God, if you can use this, I'm giving it to you. See, they did not make excuses. They simply used what they had. They did not quit. Simply, they did not make excuses, and they simply used. A little boy said here, they fed 5,000, and there was food left over. Wow. Actually, I think they had more food than when they started. They collected all the leftovers. Listen, simply use what you have. And watch God, watch what God does with it. Isn't that amazing? He said, here, God, here, this is all I got, but you can have it. Look what God did. Why don't you take your life and say, hey, God, I don't got a lot, but hey, you use a little boy's bread and fishes. Hey, I'll just, whatever it is I got. Lord, if you can use it, I'm giving it to you. You just do what you want with it, God. And watch God Almighty come down and do great things with little things that you offer up. That's how God does things. Do you have those 3 great characteristics in your life? I will not quit. I will not make excuses. I will simply use what I have for Jesus. If you don't, maybe today, you might want to come to the altar and say, God, I'm lacking in some of those things. God, help me to have those things. Help me to have that kind of attitude. I will not quit. I will not make excuses. And I'll simply use what I have. In Bethel Baptist, I love you. Thank you for 23. 1 to 4 years. I hope the Lord lets me be with you some years in advance to come go with. I want to be with you when you see those new buildings go up debt free. I really believe He's going to do it, Ruthie. I don't know how, but I really believe He's going to do it. And I think Arlene, I think He's going to let me see it. I thought I might watch it from the heaven portals, but maybe I'll be here right on this land seeing it with you. I sure love you. Let's do something for God. Heavenly Father, thank you. And Lord, I failed to preach this, and it's in my note. Lord, thank you for Jesus not quitting at Calvary. Lord, I'm so thankful. Jesus, they put nails in His hands and thorns in His head. And they lashed Him and whipped Him and mutilized His body, but He did not quit. They hung Him on the Calvary's cross, and He hung there for 6 hours from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, and He did not quit. They took Him down off the cross and put Him in a tomb, and 3 days later, He arose again because Jesus would not quit. He went to heaven, and He's coming back soon because He will not quit. Help us to have that kind of attitude. Help us to have that kind of determination that we will not quit, that we will not make excuses, and that we'll simply use what we have. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, I know for sure, preacher, I'm saved. I know for a fact if I died, I'd go to heaven because I've asked Christ to save my soul. How many could say, I know I'm saved. I can raise my hand to God and say, thank you for saving me, Jesus. Who can do that today? If you're saved, raise your hand. Let me see. Okay, thank you. Is there anyone here today that say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I die to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Jesus don't want you to go to hell either, by the way. He's the one that died, so you wouldn't have to go to hell. He shed His blood, so you wouldn't have to go to hell. He arose that third day, so you wouldn't have to go to hell. He's coming back, so you don't have to go to hell. How many say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Just raise that hand. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. Anyone like that? Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? Just raise your hand and put it back down. Won't come to you. Won't embarrass you. Sure like to pray for you. Anyone like that at all? I'm not sure. Then lastly, how many say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you. One of those 3 points, I think I need to do better with some of those points about not giving up, not quitting, not making excuses, simply using what I have for God. Preacher, I need to do that. Help me. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Help me to do those things. Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. Today I want to encourage you. There's something dear to your heart, something important that you need. Come to the altar. The Bible says draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Father, bless this invitation now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Stand with